Welcome to the Fig City News Podcast, read by a text-to-speech AI voice. NPS faces challenges of funding and staffing special education, by Christy Gibson, Assistant Superintendent of Student Services. Casey Noe Miller presented to the school committee on March 11th about the special education services provided by NPS and some of the challenges in budgeting and funding these services. A repeated theme was how state and federal mandates have increased the NPS allocation to special education student services over the past several decades without commensurate revenue support from the state or federal governments. As Dr. Nolan said, historically, at the beginning of my career, these services were provided by other institutions, not schools. Modern medicine has meant that students who would have been institutionalized into medical programs and hospitals aren't there. That is a triumph for families. But the costs come to schools for changing colostomy bags, for supporting students with severe epilepsy, etc. These get more complicated every year. For example, interstate nursing regulations have changed, and our nurses can no longer travel on interstate field trips with our students. We have to contract out for LPNs in other states. The costs surprise everyone, but the mandates should also shock you. These are things that we are expected to do now that we're coming from different sectors of public service budgets or private budgets in other times. As Dr. Nolan has said at several school committee meetings, these services are enshrined in legal documents called IEPs, and this is an area of the budget that cannot be easily reduced without exposing the district to legal liability and reducing support for our most vulnerable students. Ms. Noe Miller outlined the scope of student services work in Newton. Out of the current 11,461 students in the Newton Public Schools District, 2,479, or 22%, are identified as having disabilities. This includes all students receiving special education services from pre-K through age 22. Of these, 24% are in programs that are substantially separate from general education classrooms, and 76% receive services primarily through inclusion models in their neighborhood or districted secondary schools. Dr. Nolan added that some of the students receiving services through neighborhood schools are students who generally attend private schools but access specific services, such as speech services, that their private schools are not able to provide during school hours at their local school. Ms. Noe Miller explained that the Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education, or DESE, categorizes students in special education programs by level of need according to how many hours they spend away from the general education classroom. The high category consists of students who are in substantially separate programs and spend no hours in a general education classroom. In response to questions from Mayor Laredo, Dr. Nolan clarified that this designation does not refer directly to the spending associated with individual students, as students who have low or moderate needs, as designated by pullout services, might or might not be allocated a one-to-one aid. Ms. Noe Miller described the range of student services provided as including special education identification and evaluation, ongoing special education services, mental health and counseling, crisis response, coordination with teaching and learning, compliance with state and federal mandates, and family partnerships. One area that was expanded upon was the workload of evaluations. Each referral requires a workload of 5 to 15 hours. In addition to the public school students being evaluated, Ms. Noe Miller explained that NPS is legally mandated to conduct private school evaluations. From July 1, 2025 to March 11, 2026, 66 parent-initiated referrals from parents of private school students resulted in 330 to 990 hours of labor that the Office of Student Services does on behalf of private school students. Later, Ms. Noe Miller noted that Ward and Underwood schools are under-resourced in psychologists because of the private school evaluations that come out of the Ward neighborhood. Ms. Noe Miller described how Newton is a destination district for special education services, especially autism. As she said, "Every week we will get at least one phone call asking us, 'I'm from California and I'm looking to buy a house or rent in Newton. Can you tell me about your special education services? What ward should I move into depending on the neighborhood school and citywide programs?'" Additionally, our proximity to some of the world's best hospitals has folks moving into Newton. They have students who are part of medical trials or are receiving medical treatment outside of school hours. She went on to add that, other than Brookline, this is very different from any other district in Massachusetts. As documented in the fiscal year 26 budget book, Newton currently has 301 special education teachers and speech-language pathologists, 123 employees who are in psychology, guidance, social worker, or medical categories, and 526 aides. This compares to 262 elementary school teachers, 202 middle school teachers, and 265 high school teachers. The student service position responsibilities listed in the budget presentation, slides 4 and 5 were described as follows. Special education teachers, numbering 286, serve as teacher of record in sub-separate classrooms or co-taught classrooms to provide specially designed instruction. Speech-language pathologists, numbering 39, provide pull-out services for speech and language-related disorders. Aid specialists, numbering 254, include behavior technicians or BTs who are one-to-one aides who work primarily with autistic students on applied behavior analysis, also known as ABA, medical aides and licensed practical nurses, or LPNs who work primarily with medically fragile students, and social and emotional learning interventionists who have the same level of training as behavior therapists and spend 80% of their time on Tier 2 or Tier 3 interventions responding to crises or doing preventive work in the general education settings. Special education aides, numbering 231, are teaching assistants in general education classrooms. Guidance counselors, numbering 37, primarily provide career, college, and course selection advising to secondary students, and a few are licensed independent clinical social workers who can provide therapeutic services. Non-guidance counselors, numbering 21, are clinical counselors assigned to citywide programs for autism, emotional, and behavioral challenges, for example, in the Harbor Middle School and Central High School programs. Psychologists, numbering 28, are specifically trained in special education law, have training in academic and social-emotional multi-tiered systems of support, and can perform special education evaluations. They typically lay out the plan that other staff follow in the classroom with students. Social workers, numbering 26, are trained to work with outside agencies and partners, for example, the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families, and also provide behavioral training for families. Other staff, numbering 50, include assistant principals for student services at the middle schools, coordinators of SLP, OTPT, SWSEL, and OOD placements, guidance and special education department heads, and assistant department heads, student services secretaries, school tutors for homebound, expelled, or suspended students, safety care trainers, who train staff in the regulated method of physical management of students who are a danger to themselves or others, student teachers with de minimis stipends, and extended school year staffing totaling $1.2 million for 500 students during summer in 4-, 5-, and 6-week programs. In addition to directly employed staff, the district also contracts out certain special education services that were described by Ms. Ngo Miller. Landmark School for Language-Based Learning Disabilities has a 15-year relationship with two dedicated consultants who validate NPS language-based programs and give families confidence that they will work, that they do not need to be in out-of-district placements at Landmark or Carroll instead. Aid substitutes are needed because Unit C staff has the highest number of staff absences, and agencies provide substitutes for medical aides, bus monitors, and others. In a survey of principals, the biggest concern was Unit C absences. Bilingual evaluations are needed for accurate profiles that differentiate between normal second language development and a specific learning disability. The district also contracts for interpretation and translation for IEP meetings. Additionally, NPS has hired consultants for caseload and workload evaluation to look with staff at whether the caseload and workload are being handled efficiently and at a high level of service. This analysis is expected to be done by next winter. Every NPS staff member is doing a time study in winter, and approximately 60% of staff has responded to the survey. Dr. Nolan expanded on the caseload and workload evaluation, saying that for the past 20 years, NPS has had more special education programs than the average district, including more aides and BTs than other districts. The evaluation is being done to run at this discussion. The people completing the evaluation have done 4,000 case studies, including extensively in Massachusetts, with their most recent client being Lexington. NPS is looking to benchmark what are high, medium, and low caseload scenarios and to compare them with the NPS staffing. Dr. Nolan asked Ms. Ungo Miller to speak to the perception that there are random folks floating around that have no assignment. Ms. Ungo Miller responded by describing a few of the reasons that adults might seem to have no specific assignment. First, she described the provision in Massachusetts law that allows a parent who has signed an IEP to stay put on any of all, some, or one of the services in a student's IEP. For example, she said, if you have a one-to-one in fourth grade, the special education team at the school can recommend that the student has made progress and no longer needs a one-to-one, but a parent can assert their one-to-one rights all the way through the end of high school. We see that happening with students, sometimes with one-to-ones, but also with high school students continuing with OT. Sixth grade goals are stayed put. They are not making new goals each year because the district disputes that they were not met, but the parent asserts the right to keep those goals and staff time in place. Later in the meeting, it was clarified that this is a federal mandate from the IDEA Act, and there are administrative judicial procedures by which parents can continue to assert stay put, which NPS could take to hearing with appeals, but this incurs legal costs and puts staff on the stand. Dr. Nolan added, this is the only tool that parents have when they think their kids are in trouble. In other districts, there might be more of an orientation to, I really want my kid to go back to general education with Tier 2 supports. It's a trust issue. Are we really providing the best Tier 1 education? Second, Ms. Ungo Miller mentioned that because of the high absence rate of Unit C aides, planning coverage just to open our doors is a daily activity that involves principals, secretaries, teachers, and special education teachers. Multiple absences make us scramble to pull folks. One-to-one aides calling out need someone else to cover. Later in the meeting, Ms. Ungo Miller also mentioned that students on wait lists for out-of-district placements sometimes have adult-student ratios of 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 because they are identified as elopers, meaning students who will run away from school or as a safety risk to themselves or other students and staff. Dr. Nolan added, if a student also has a different disability that requires a 1-to-1 aide, that is separate from the program aide count. Specialized autism programs often see this. Students who are at risk for harming self and others, bolting, needing restraint. We are proud of the depth of services NPS is able to provide, but that comes with a layering of services so that people are not harmed. There are discussions around how that disrupts other classrooms, trying to minimize disruptions so students near these programs can learn in safety and peace. Dr. Nolan said that the only position that is not legally mandated by federal or state special education laws are the social workers, but those are mandated by the last NTA contract negotiation, which mandated social workers at all schools in grades K through 8. Several committee members repeatedly emphasized the inherent social value of facilitating students' ability to maintain their education in their home community. Given that value, they also sought to understand the financial impacts of keeping students in district. Staff indicated there are currently 127 students in out-of-district placements, with an additional 16 awaiting out-of-district placements. These students are spread among approximately 60 schools that provide different sets of services. An NPS analysis of comparable programs showed that the average tuition for out-of-district placement was $127,800 per year, while the average NPS in-district programming for similar services was $70,100. This was before transportation costs for out-of-district placements were considered. In response to a question from school committee member Jonathan Green, Ms. Ngo Miller said that if all of the waiting list students were to receive placements, that would be $900,000 more in spending for which NPS has not budgeted. Dr. Nolan remarked, "My hair turns gray when you ask us to take on risk for substitutes, because we are already taking on a lot of risk for potential out-of-district placements." Dr. Nolan noted that in theory, the state is in a position to reimburse districts for out-of-district tuition, but the mechanism of that combined with other decisions the state has made has contributed to these reimbursements consistently not covering the full cost of out-of-district placements. For example, in the COVID year, the state allowed out-of-district schools to increase tuition by 14%, but did not provide district funding to cover it, and that by itself represented an increase of $2 million. Additionally, while out-of-district schools are in theory subject to a set percentage increase in their tuition each year, they are also allowed to restructure their services at any time and change their tuition rates when they do so, and they are doing this frequently. Dr. Nolan also noted that while the state says it will reimburse out-of-district transportation costs at 75%, that rarely happens, and last year it was at 61%. Liam Hurley clarified that transportation was added only recently as part of the Student Opportunity Act. The state legislature funds the circuit breaker account at a certain amount, and its first goal is to reimburse districts with 75% of certain educational accounts above $60,000 per student. From remaining amounts, there is a subsequent process for transportation, and the difference for Newton would be about $330,000. The legislature is increasing its contributions, but not at the same rate as inflation. They first fill the instructional budget and then transportation. Dr. Nolan illustrated the challenges of creating in-house programs to prevent out-of-district placements as follows. There's a tension of proposing these and then not having funding. We added the REACH program in-house. There is a second cohort ready for it, but we can't implement it because it needs upfront investment before the savings are realized. Using the numbers stated earlier in the evening, that savings was ballparked at $57,700 per student per year. Ms. No Miller explained that REACH opened for 8 students this year, and next year it is projected to have 12, including SLP services. However, REACH is a sub-separate program with a state-mandated student-teacher ratio of 1 to 8. NPS could add 4 more children if an aide were added. Dr. Nolan added, "Because of our limitations on increasing the budget, we can't commit to that. But then, out-of-district schools raise tuition, and we are here with an increased budget for that anyway." In a similar vein, school committee member Ben Schlesinger is preparing a report on the financial impact of fully implementing multi-tiered systems of support services, which are also widely accepted as educationally beneficial. Dr. Nolan mentioned that Newton is next on DSE's list for a comprehensive review of all activities. This will start this spring, continue in fall, and be presented to the school committee and DSE by next spring. Dr. Nolan also noted some of the state mandates that might be unclear to residents. Safety care training is professional development that is required by state law for a certain number of staff in the district. There are regulations around exclusionary timeouts, and physical restraint is the last resort after all other de-escalation techniques. Since 2015, districts are no longer allowed to suspend or expel students without the obligation to continue to educate them. The tutoring budget also accounts for tutors who are required under these circumstances, sometimes with students who also get special education services. Dr. Nolan concluded her remarks for the evening by talking about what superintendents across Massachusetts are advocating for from the state legislature and DSE. They are advocating for maintaining or increasing the fiscal year 26 $150 per pupil Chapter 70 minimum aid, which is up from $60 in fiscal year 24 and $104 in fiscal year 25. They are also advocating for lowering the circuit breaker threshold minimum, which is the minimum out-of-district tuition a private school can charge NPS to enroll a Newton residing student in order for the tuition to qualify for circuit breaker state reimbursement to NPS. Additionally, they are advocating for changing the circuit breaker special education reimbursement rate from 75% to 90% of costs above this minimum threshold, changing the 4.5% inflation cap on out-of-district tuitions to match the current rate of inflation, and achieving 100% reimbursement for transportation. That's all for today's Fig City News podcast. Thank you for listening. For more news and updates, visit figcitynews.com.